You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
And welcome to it. Dan Laxer with Walter Assey of Renovco here in studio. Now the numbers are 514-790-0800. Star Talk on Bell Mobility, and you can even text your questions into 514-800. And before we go any further, first of all, good morning, Walter.
Good morning.
And from what I understand, you have a birthday in the family.
Oh my God, I have one of the most important birthday. It's my son, my golden boy, the oldest, Jason.
Yeah.
He's turning 11 today.
Very nice.
Yeah, he's an amazing, amazing kid. I mean, it's he's probably the best son a father could wish for.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, so I want to wish him the happiest of birthdays.
What are the any plans?
Oh, yeah, we're having a pool party for him today.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he planned the whole thing out. He chose his gifts.
Yeah.
We didn't have to do much.
He chose
even the guest list, everything. We had no say whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Probably next year he'll pick up the menu too.
Excellent. Excellent. There's a guy who knows what he wants.
Absolutely.
And you say his name is Jason?
Jason.
Happy birthday, Jason, from all of us here at CJD as well. We have a couple of calls coming in. Before we get to the calls, I don't want to be that guy, but I guess I have to be. It's going to be a beautiful weekend, a beautiful summer weekend. But it is August 20th. Do we have to start looking ahead to things we should do to our homes for the, dare I say it, fall?
You are being that guy again.
Sorry.
Yeah, August, like towards the end of August, that's where it gets to be a bit more nerve-wracking for everyone. And the problem is a lot of the contractors are already booked.
Yes, exactly.
So there is a panic effect, like, and we can tell by the calls we get in. You know, if it's the roof, now really people are really panicking to get it done. If it's because you don't really have a big window, you have what, 8 more weeks of exterior work that you could do, if you're lucky. If we don't get it in early winter, and so yeah, I mean we can't procrastinate anymore, and we have to be a bit more. Hands-on with these things because, you know, and again, like I always say, the winter is a very bad time to do exterior work.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, even emergency work. There's not much you could do. What are you going to do for a leaky roof in the winter? You're going to have to shovel the snow every time it snows? Not very practical.
Yeah,
put a tarp on? It doesn't work very well. So there's not many options that you have, and there's no magic bullet for a solution. So whatever you have to have done, be a bit more proactive and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's do the checklist now, do the walkthrough now. It's a great time. It's beautiful outside. We still have a window to get it done. You know, November when people call you, it's usually not a good time for you to do any more exterior work because you're already booked up. Like, I mean, usually a good contractor is booked up 3, 4, 5 months ahead, right?
Yes.
Sometimes even a year or two ahead. So, you know, you're not going to get much luck doing it later on.
Okay. So have a quick look around. Whatever needs to get done, get it done. And in the meantime, call us here at CJD 800 like Richard did from Laval. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Oh, hold on. Hold on 1 second. Don't... Richard, hold on 1 second. Hold on. He can't hear me. What's going on? Any idea? Sorry, Richard, you got to hang on. We're having some phone problems. Any idea why, Jimmy? Maybe if I press that. Hold on. Richard?
Yes, I'm there.
Sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties with the phone. Fixed it.
Okay, so can I go ahead?
Yes, of course.
Hi, Walter. Please, we're trying to have our kitchen renovated, and the contractor for the kitchen floor, he's suggesting floating vinyl with the one with the memory already built in. I don't know what you're suggesting. We're also talking about tiles, but you're saying that the tiles wouldn't last longer than he preferred the vinyl, excuse me, with the memory.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. That's very interesting. So when you say memory, you probably meant built-in membrane.
Membrane.
Yeah. I wanted just to make sure because I want to answer you on the right thing.
Yeah.
So these are typically cork membranes at the back, and they work great. Now, there is advantages and disadvantages to the vinyl planks. I personally prefer the vinyl PVC planks. It's made better. there are different brands, right? So there are brands that are made cheaper and a bit more flimsier, I should say. There are others that are really much better. I'm not going to name those brands on air, but, you know, off air, maybe I'll help you out with that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I really appreciate that.
So having said that, now the advantage of the vinyl PVC cork-backed system is that it's waterproof and it's reusable. So in a kitchen environment, if you drop water on it or wine or what have you, it's made to be resistant. Plus, it's also shock and dent resistant, meaning you drop a pan, you drop a pot, you drop something. So there is advantages for that. There is one downside to this product. It's not very forgiving if your floor is not even. Okay, so if the floor is not even, after a while you start seeing openings in the floor. The joints would open. So if you are going to go that route, you want to make sure that the floor is even before you do that. Whether you do that through shimming or whether you do that through self-leveling cement, whatever your contractor is recommending.
Okay.
In your case. That's one. Now, number two, I don't agree necessarily with what he said about vinyl PVC lasting more than porcelain tiles, because there are porcelain tiles that have been in existence since 1,000 years.
Okay.
So it depends on the quality and depends on the quality of the installation. Having said that, it's a much easier job for him to go through vinyl PVC than to do a ceramic floor, because a ceramic floor, you have to go to the cement call, you have to do the remundi, and then you have to do the grout, and so on and so forth. So it's a much more time-consuming process. That's probably why he's pushing more for the vinyl PVC. Unless you have other reasons to have to do with transitions between rooms. I don't know what his reasons are, or the composition of your floor, or if you're putting it on top of another floor. Like, for example, you have a linoleum floor that you don't want to take out and you want to go on top. They might have other reasons why he's recommending that.
Yeah, you're really right, Walter. You know, we have a linoleum floor, and he wants to put it over the
linoleum
floor. Yeah.
It's as if I'm reading your mind, huh?
Yeah.
So definitely you can put the porcelain on top. Definitely you can. Now, how old is this floor, the linoleum floor at the bottom?
I think since the building, the house was built in 1989.
Okay. Yeah. Now, if you're going vinyl PVC on top, that is, as long as it's in good shape and it's not lifting and it's not bending and so on and so forth. If not, I would recommend that you take it out. It doesn't take much. It's not really complicated to take out the linoleum floor. And you start from the plywood up.
Okay.
I don't see why. I mean, I understand if there was a cement bedding floor or, you know, a sand coat floor at the bottom, which is very intrusive and you have to jackhammer it out, that I could get. But if you have a linoleum floor that is easy to take out, I mean, it's going to take him, what, three hours and it's done. And that way you expose what's underneath. Because what I like to do, and that's very important, is I like to screw back my plywood, my original plywood in.
Right.
And what happens with time is that when the house was built, they used nails. Okay? When they put the plywood in. Now, with time, that nail start popping out. So you'll have plywood that is not well fixed to the floor joists.
Right.
This is your great chance to correct that. And, you know, by getting down to the plywood, you could re-screw back the plywood and make it nice and tight and very well attached with floor joists. And then you can start your flooring on top. And then we could put whatever flooring you want in this case.
Okay.
All right, Richard, we've got to run. We're up against the clock. I hope that helps, though. Thanks so much for the call. It is the Home Improvement Show on CJD. That there is Walter Essie of Renovco. I'm Dan in for Ken. 514-790-0800. Star Talk on Bell Mobility. And you can text your questions in to 514-800.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show.
on CJAD 800.
And welcome to it, Dan in for Ken, and that's Walter Assey of Renovco. And out in the townships, this is Diane. Hi there, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How can we help you?
Actually, I have a second question as I was listening to Walter earlier.
Yeah.
The first question is, I have to add some insulation into my attic. I have batting there now, pink batting, and they're suggesting another layer of pink batting. But then they also mentioned blown-in insulation, and I'd like to know the pros and cons of and the efficiency of one versus the other.
That's a great question. It's a great question because it's very seldom that people question the, you know, the type, because for them it's an attic, they don't see it and they don't care.
Right.
But there is a lot of practicality behind this question that is important for us to talk about. Number one, if we're going to go with a blown-in insulation, obviously with a blown-in we have a little bit more control on the R value, meaning if I want to have 1 inch, 2 inch, 3 inch, I could put as many inches as required. Versus the batting, you have preset sizes, if you wish. Okay, so if you're missing 3 inches, you could blow in 3 inches. You can't necessarily go and buy 3 inches worth of fiberglass insulation, or 2 inches for that matter. So that's one positive, if you wish. It is faster because it's coming through a truck mount and they just blow it in. So the process is faster than just walking around and just, you know, putting the bats yourself and what have you. So for you to put bats on top of bats, you have to have an accessible attic. Okay, so if the attic is not high enough and a human cannot, you know, have to crawl there, it's not a very practical method. Because it's all about covering all the bases, meaning everything is, you're getting to every possible corner in the attic. And sometimes you could walk down the middle, but the end of it is not accessible because you can't get there. So what are you going to do? You can't just throw the bats there and hope that they fall in the right place. So that's when it becomes really, really, really practical, because we are able to shoot that blown in everywhere.
Okay. Now, okay. My attic is accessible. I have quite a bit of space. So for me, it would be, as a blown insulation, is that not more bothersome if ever you have to do electrical work or whatever?
I was going to get there.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I had a sequence of events. That's why I just wanted to kind of go over the whole process with you, and then we could dissect your question a little bit more.
Okay.
So that was the pros of having the blown in. Now, the cons of it is, if you ever have a water damage and you have to open up the ceiling and you're pulling out the insulation, all that blown in insulation is going to fall on your head.
Yeah.
And it's really not practical. I mean, it's cumbersome. It's a dirty thing, and it's time consuming and so on and so forth. So that's the downside of it. Now, the bad insulation is if you have it, is accessible, it's good. Providing that you have a very responsible person putting it and ensuring that it's really put everywhere, and there's, you know, no joints between the two, and the things are really tight and snug. Often, more often than not, it's not the case, unfortunately. We see it in places where you have just bad insulation, that there's areas that the joints were too big between each bat, and, or, you know, with the wind something moved. So that's, you know, that will be the downside to have the bat. But it's a more practical thing in case of maintenance. So if you ask me, which one I would put in my house, I don't mind putting the blown in, only because, you know, I'm good at maintaining the house. I'm good in checking the roof periodically and making sure that everything is nice, and I don't have any reasons for water damages.
Simply because I know
I'm going to need it more for insulation purposes. So that I trust that process more than just the bat insulation process.
No, thank you. And my second question, while you were speaking to someone else, is the caulking. Do they walk around of the house? Now, what is the best caulking to use, doors, windows, exterior, to redo the caulking or to double-check that everything is okay? What type of caulking would you suggest?
It's actually window and door caulking, right? It's,
okay.
There's no magic bullet. The caulking, and as long as you put it in the right application with the right temperature. Now, there are caulking that you could do in the middle of, in colder temperature, but you're paying a lot like a much bigger price. So the caulking itself, it's also in the preparation. So when you're applying it, that you have a good technician applying, that he's really preparing it, he's not putting it on dirty surfaces, and so on and so forth. But we don't really, we're not going to prefer one brand on top of another brand, but, you know, there's a lot of good brands out there, as long as the application is right and you are really doing window and door caulking and not like bathtub caulking, right?
Excellent.
All right. Hope so that
hi
helps.
Ho, hi ho, off to work I go.
Thanks so much, Diane. Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
Let's see if we can squeeze another call in. John also had a question about caulking.
Yeah, I just suddenly got very, very short my question because I think we covered it in the last caller. It was going to be exactly that. Do we need to, so for external caulking, if I want to redo all my doors and windows, do I need to remove the existing caulking completely, or if it's dry and clean, can I caulk over what's already there?
You don't necessarily need to remove it. What you want to remove is any access or any cracks. If it's peeling off, you want to take it out because you want it to stick nicely. But if you have a nice bedding, and that's where we use a lot of the common sense, and the surface is clean, you can go on top.
Okay.
You know, but make sure that you're being very conscientious about that. You know,
because
if things are peeling, if things are cracking, then if things are lifting, then you might not have a proper adherence, and you will have to do it again next season.
Okay, and would it be too much to go as far as cleaning it, like prepping it first with TPS or something to make sure it's at least clean, or is that
absolutely? I mean, the power be to you if you want to do proper prepping. I mean, again, the common sense is you want materials to adhere to each other.
Right.
Nothing really have a perfect adherence, perfect snug. If the surface beneath it is dirty or it have any type of debris. So
right.
the cleaner we have the surface, and then you just make sure that it dries. So you give it about a day or two to dry, so you don't, you know, and you don't apply your caulking in a rainy day and so on and so forth. This is common sense stuff. But as long as you have it dried up, and then you could apply the surface, no problem. Apply it to that surface, no problem after that.
All right.
Okay, I really appreciate you guys. I really appreciate you, Walter. Thank you.
Well, my pleasure, sir.
We appreciate the call. Thanks, John. 514-790-0800, 1-800-491-CJD, Star Talk on Bell Mobility, and you can even text in your questions to 514-800. We have a couple of texts to get to, and we have a couple of more calls. I know that Annie is waiting from LaSalle, and we'll get to all of that in a couple of moments. It is the Home Improvement Show. With me, Dan Laxer, in for Ken Connors. Walter Assey is, of course, from Renovco. And we're taking your calls straight through till 10 o'clock, which is when the car show starts, and it's Lisa Christensen's birthday. Don't forget. So you can reach us now at 514-790-0800, Star Talk on Bell Mobility. You can text your questions in to 514-800 and call long distance, toll free, 1-800-491-CJAD. We have more home improvement coming up after the 9:30 news.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Welcome back to it at 9:35. Dan in for Ken with Walter Assey of Renovco on the other side of the table, and Annie from LaSalle. Good morning, Annie.
Yes, hi. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Quite welcome.
It's just a question. I have a house which has, it's a sloped roof. There's an attic. It's not a usable attic. It's just a big open space.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, I had a building inspector at the beginning of July, and he went up into the attic, and he saw at one place that it's it looks like a previous water infiltration in the attic space. But the space was dry when he inspected it. And there's another thing also that he saw. It's an open gable vent, and it's recommended to close other exhaust vents, close gable vents, in order for air to move from soffits to the raised vents on the roof. Now, I was wondering, who do I contact to have a look at the inside of this roof?
Okay. So, Mike, are you asking me, because you mentioned the water stain, and you're saying it's an old water stain. So what you're trying to tell me is that your roof is okay now, right?
The roof is okay. Yeah. From the outside, it was done in 2015.
Okay. So closing that gable vent is a carpenter's job. And someone, if you're lucky enough to get the carpenter to be able to do it from the inside, and then whatever finishing you have from the outside. So let's say it's a siding, he could do the repairs at the same time. So getting a carpenter that is well aware of exterior finishes is what would be your best bet.
Okay.
You don't want a roofer. They're not really, it's not really their job.
Mm-hmm.
What you really want is a carpenter. And if you have limited access in your attic, try to pick a small carpenter.
Okay.
So he can get to it. And, you know, if your carpenter is 6'7", he's not going to be really moving freely in that attic,
no,
right?
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
In a similar vein, a text came in earlier this morning. How do you know when your roof needs to get done? Because you cannot see it. I have a roof that's a triangular roof, I guess, like hers, and it's a cottage. Do they come to look at your roof and tell you, and do they charge for that?
Well, I mean, you could. There are telltale signs when it comes. It's, let's say if it's he doesn't mention if it's a shingle roof or not, right?
Yeah.
But if it's a shingle roof, usually you see that the shingles are dried up and they're starting to curl up and so on and so forth. The other side of it is common sense. I mean, how old is your roof? If your roof is 40 years old, and you know, well, it's really time to don't wait for things to start showing you their age before you actually take action, because they might just show you their age suddenly like that, and then boom, you have a problem, and then that's when you replace the roof. So there's some common sense there. Now I know that sometimes what people tell me is I can't see the whole roof, and I'm not gonna go up and walk myself, and they're right. And that's why drones now are very, very popular.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're cheap to buy, and you can just go up with the camera and go up as close as possible and take a look at all the valleys and everything else. Because, yes, from the street you might look good. From the other side you might look good. But then you go up and then you see those hidden valleys up there.
Yeah.
And you might see cracks. I don't recommend anybody going up to the roof if they're not trained and they're not in shape. So that's when drones can, you know, really be much help to you.
Annie was saying that her roof, they did it in 2015. I know there's a formula that you need to have it checked every 5 years and have it redone every 10 or something like that?
Not really. I mean, shingles now, we can buy shingles up to 50 years.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so it's depending. Like contractor roofs, meaning developers' roofs when the house was constructed, are usually made more cheaply.
Yeah.
Meaning they go with the basic rampart shingle or whatever, 15-year-old shingle. They don't do black paper, synthetic paper. They don't do eye sheet membranes.
Mm-hmm.
So these are typically the biggest short-life roofs out there. And those I recommend really that after 10 years you start looking into them and seeing how well they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
15 years to 20 years is the maximum life shelf for these particular roofs.
Yeah.
Depending on the slopes of the roof, depending on how the sun hits the roof and so on and so forth. But, you know, if you get yourself a good 50-year-old roof, you know, there's no reason why you should have it replaced before 30, 40 years. If it's well done.
Yeah. Okay.
If
I
it's
think
well
that,
done.
That's good to know. Right back to the phones. This is Jenny in St. Laurent. Good morning.
Good morning. I have my cement is cracking in front of my garage, and some pieces are coming off. Should I cement it again or with a special cement, or what can I do about that?
Okay, so is that the slab that is cracking in front of your garage?
Yeah, just
okay.
The slab, just in the front where you just go into the garage. You can see it from the outside, too.
Okay, so you want to chip away at all the loose cement. You want to get to a nice solid base.
Okay.
And you want to try a top bond type cement. It's top bond is a product that you could buy. So it bonds from the old cement to the new.
Okay, what kind of cement is that?
Well, it's cement that it's top bond cement. It's like a polymer type cement that actually adheres to the actual slab. So it's cement to cement.
A polymer cement?
Yeah, but get a top bond. It's called, the product is called Top Bond.
Top Bond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I guess that's very important. Otherwise, it will crack again the next year.
Yeah, you
right?
can do, like, because we've seen a lot that, I mean, usually it's a very tricky situation with concrete. It doesn't always work out. Depending on how much water it gets, how much freezing, and so on and so forth, and how much the earth is moving underneath it, and so on and so forth. So nothing is guaranteed when you're putting cement on top of cement, but it's worth a try before you go drastic. Okay, so you know, if
what
that
do you
doesn't
mean,
work,
what do you mean by drastic? By it, because there's really big pieces coming off. It's quite ugly now.
Okay. Well, it depends how deep. If it's really going deep, then you're going down and you're keeping an inch just to put on top of it. It's not really worth it. Then you go all the way down and then you pour a new form and then you're okay. If it's just surface cracks, then you could definitely look all, you know, because a cement slab is usually minimum 4 to 6 inches depending how much they poured it at the time. So if there's only about an inch or two that is cracked, then definitely it's worth, you know, exploring the repair element. If it's more than that, then, you know, you just go all the way down and you pour a new form.
Okay, because there's something underneath.
Yeah.
Somebody told me, clean it out and just leave the way it is, you know, what's underneath. There's another, I don't know what it is underneath. It's a different form.
I don't know what you mean by that, but usually, like I said, I mean, to kind of gauge it, if it's a cement slab, it's usually 4 to 6 inches in depth, depending, you know, preferably 6 inches. But then you could see how much you crack, how deep it runs. So let's say you're taking out the loose cement on top and you are 4 inches down. That's not really worth it to keep the last 2 inches because or the last 1 inch in this case, maybe. Then you just go and to the bottom and you just pour a new form and then you're okay.
Okay. So you say it's Top Bond polymer cement?
Yeah, Top Bond it's called.
Top Bond, B-O-N-D, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for the call, Jenny.
Okay, bye-bye.
514-790-0800, Star Talk on Bell Mobility, and you can text in to 514-800. We do have texts waiting about flooding, about hardwood floors, and about electrical work in a kitchen. We'll get to all of those. Yeah.
Sorry, it's plastic cement is what I wanted to say. Top Bond plastic.
Plastic cement.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and it's do they spell it with one word? Is it two words?
Yeah. No, it's Top Bond. It's two words, yeah.
Plastic cement. Okay, there you go.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
In our remaining moments with Walter Assey of Renovco, why don't we run through some of these texts? There was one. Oh, here it is. I need to run an electrical wire, says this texter, outside the house to hardwire an awning. I want to run it up my outside wall and through the soffit. The electrician tells me that he can run the wire as we want, but it cannot be concealed in a PVC conduit. But we'll be left exposed. And this texter wants to know if that's all right.
That is not all right as far as I know. I'm not an master electrician. Mm-hmm. But what I know about exterior wires, they have to be buried. The minimum code requirement is 27 inches in depth.
Okay.
Especially if you're running a span. I mean, really. And it's a bit more complicated than that, because what you would need to do is to put gravel on top, and then you need to put treated wood planks, mm-hmm. and then you put a caution tape
on top of that.
On top of that, and then you do your backfill. The reason being is they don't want you to if you're excavating. They want the excavator to see that there's, you know, a caution tape and, you know, you want the wire protected. So as far as exterior wires being run, like, on surface, unprotected, never heard of it, and I would never do it.
Okay.
Okay? That's actually a dangerous practice to do.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
And if the guy is a master electrician, I really don't understand his logic, but it's worth it to get another opinion or to research it, because it's not a game.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't say, but I don't know if the electrician is a master. Sometimes it's not. it might be a fly-by-night guy. Freshly sanded hardwood floors, what is the best clear paint, quote-unquote, to apply?
Paint.
Like a protective cover?
You mean a sealer?
Or a sealer, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of good brands out there. There's a lot of good brands. There's not really one that I, you know, that I could say off air that is better than the other one. But it's not a very... I've never heard of one that did not work properly or adhere properly. But I mean, when you say freshly sanded, because usually when you sand and the sander does apply the sealer and the Varathane. So
does it?
Yeah. Okay. So I don't understand why he would want to do another coat on top of that.
Yeah.
So that should be kind of have been done all as a package.
Unless this person did it themselves.
Yeah.
Okay.
But again, I mean, there's not really one one brand that we... you know, that we promote or think that's better. They all work well.
Okay. Rob from Laval texted in earlier. He says, I have architect drawings prepared for an extension. If I send them to Renovco, how long until I get an estimate?
It depends. Usually anywhere between 2 to 3 weeks we can get a price out at this stage of the game, because now we're having a lot of... you know, last minute kind of calls and what have you. So the volume is a bit higher, but usually 2 to 3 weeks. Just going back to the previous caller, maybe traffic is, if they have a traffic area, there's a Varathane called traffic, and it's a bit more resistant.
For the hardwood floors.
For the hardwood floors, yeah. It just, if let's say, for example, I got a call last time from someone that it's a store that have hardwood floor. And, you know, traffic is a bit more, you know, it's what they use in basketball courts.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's that resistant.
Hmm.
Yeah, because a lot of the oil-based ones are not allowed anymore. So that's a good replacement, if you wish.
Okay. Very similar text to Rob's. This is Frank from LaSalle. He says, my question is, after a flood in our triplex, the insurance company always recommends their contractors. Is it okay to have a company like Renovco do an estimate?
That's a very good question, and it's very important to touch on it. I always, always, always recommend the insured to have a second opinion.
Yeah.
You know, the insurance company are recommending their contractors, and they're paying the bill at the same time. So there's something there to be said. We always recommend that you have a second opinion. Fresh pair of eyes.
Yeah.
And for many reasons. Number one, every company have a good, a bad, and an ugly. Meaning a human error does occur. Nobody's perfect.
Right.
So if you have an evaluator from the insurance company or the contractor of the insurance company is a bit less competent, it doesn't hurt to have an extra pair of eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, so... And even sometimes you can go to a loss, especially if it's a bigger loss, the first visit, the second visit, you see more things that you didn't see the first visit because there's a lot to take in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it doesn't hurt to have someone audit that and give comments. And by law, you have the right to choose your own contractor. Now, the law was put there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You have rights as an insured and you have obligations. Your rights is to choose your own, if you want, quote-unquote, contractor slash advisor, really, because, you know, they have maybe another way of doing things that you, that you know, and it's someone that usually works to your favor and works for you. They don't work for the insurance company, and that's really what you want in this case. So definitely have a second opinion. Always, always, always have a second opinion. When it comes to fire and flood damages, insurance claims, you know, don't take it at face value.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can tell you right off the bat, you'll be shocked to see how many mistakes we find.
Yeah.
And things that are not really, like, hidden. I'm talking about, like, jumping in your face. I'll give you an example. I'm doing a fire in TMR, fire restoration, and we looked at the insurance company report, and the evaluator did not put the electrical, the plumbing, or the ventilation in the report.
Wow.
It's the house is a total loss.
Yeah.
Right? So you look at it, okay, this is not a mistake. This is huge. And then, you know, the adjuster answered, well, yeah, sometimes they forget a few stuff. That's not forgetting a few stuff. That's forgetting the whole mechanical of the house.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right? So, you know, a lot of the smaller contractors, maybe sometimes lesser experience, would not catch that because it's a 500-page report, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So they're not necessarily go, they just look at the final figures. But, and then during the work, they realize, oh, I can't get the job done. So it's very important that you have an expert pair of eyes look at that report. Okay. For sure.
So that question came from Frank, and he's listening to the show. He just sent a text saying, thank you.
Awesome.
He says, we may have asbestos. The test has not been done. I'm not sure yet what we're talking about in time and damage. Need a contact for the second estimate. So how can he reach you?
Well, you can call Runofco, and then we can definitely help him out with that.
And the number's there?
The number is 514-856-9993.
9993.
There you
as
go.
As the late Dave Fisher.
Can't have said it any better.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Walter, as always.
Always a pleasure, sir.
And thanks all of you for your calls and texts. Thank you, Jimmy G and Master Control. Stay tuned for the 10 o'clock news with Don Kagan Fleming. And thereafter, the car show with the birthday girl, Lisa Christensen.
Happy birthday, Lisa.